Hello, everyone. Welcome to a brand new edition of the Sports Report Podcast with Brad and Clay. It's official. Here we are. The offseason. Trades being made. The NBA draft was last night. We're going to recap all that here today on a brand new podcast. And with me, as always, Clay Schrader. Clay, how are we doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. Glad it's Friday.
Exactly. Glad it's the weekend. We have a lot to get to here today on this NBA draft special. A lot of news before the draft with a couple of big-time trades. We'll get to those as well. So, Clay, we've been waiting for this moment for weeks because we have anticipated the offseason this year being crazy with a lot of moves being made, a lot of players maybe changing jerseys. The salary cap goes up. So a lot of action was promised to happen for us this offseason.
It's already been a pretty good show the first couple days.
Like, this whole week's been kind of a whirlwind with the Cavaliers winning the championship, and they had the parade. J.R. Smith's never going to wear a shirt again. And then, of course, we had some big news yesterday and the day before leading up to the draft, and we'll get to all that here today on the NBA Draft Special Podcast. Clay, what I want to get to first, of course, is the biggest news of the week, is that the Chicago Bulls have traded their three-time All-Star, one-time NBA MVP point guard Derrick Rose to the New York Knicks. This was a trade that many people had anticipations of them trading Jimmy Butler and maybe trading Derrick Rose. Thought maybe Rose would end up in New York. That's one of his top picks of places where he wanted to go next. But it just kind of came out of nowhere on Wednesday. And before we knew it, he was in with a new team. He changed his jersey number to 25 as well. On the other end, the New York Knicks will receive Derrick Rose and Justin Holiday and a 2017 second-round pick in exchange for their center and free agent star last year, Robin Lopez, and Jose Calderon and Jaren Grant, their first-round pick last year. So the New York Knicks actually gave up a lot to get Derrick Rose, and maybe even a little bit too much.
Yeah, I think Chicago definitely got the better end of the deal. Even unless Rose just comes back to his full self before his first injury, which I don't think is going to happen. It's a really, really risky move, and I don't know. I don't think this is a let's win a championship, build a championship team. I think this is just let's put people in the seats type of move for the Knicks, because I definitely think the Bulls got the better end of the deal.
Yeah, this seems to me like a typical New York Knicks move. Now the New York Knicks have Derrick Rose, who's going into a contract year. So he's going to the last year of his deal. He's going to have to play big, and he's going to be anticipating a big contract at the end of next season. And you have Carmelo Anthony right there, and Phil Jackson apparently had told Derrick Rose that he is going to go strong after free agent Kevin Durant in this year's free agency. Now, I don't see why Kevin Durant would be appealed. What's attracting him to New York at this point? But it's interesting that Phil Jackson had promised Derrick Rose that, hey, now we got you here, I'm going after another guy.
Yeah. Okay, hurt to try.
So I think what that'll do is that'll get you a sit-down, maybe. Maybe get you a sit-down with Kevin Durant, and you hope that maybe Phil Jackson can just throw down all these championship rings on the table and say, this is what we got. But at the same time, I think Kevin Durant's going to be a lot smarter in his decision, a lot more of like he said several times in his interviews, it's going to be a basketball decision, and the New York Knicks are nowhere near the top of the NBA.
No, they're not. They got a little ways to go. It's an interesting dynamic. I don't know if – I guess Melo could play the two, I guess, and then play the three. They could make it work for sure. That would be an interesting big three. They already got the good young center. What's his name?
Porzingis.
Yeah. So they got a pretty – I mean, they could have a good core there in New York, but I don't know. I don't see Durant – I think Durant would go to Golden State before he would go to New York. But personally, I think he'll stay in Oklahoma City for at least one more year.
We'll get to Kevin Durant and his free agency later on in the podcast. We have some breaking news going towards his team. Oklahoma City making a big move last night in the NBA draft. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But, Clay, I want to go back to the Rose trade a little bit. Now we see Derrick Rose on the move to New York. There's a big hole to fill in Chicago with the point guard position.
Yeah. I thought they would address it last night in the draft, but they didn't. So I don't know what they're going to do, just to be honest with you. I guess there's some decent players that are going to be free agents, point guards that, you know, you think they can afford? Or is Calderon, I guess he's more of a two, isn't he?
He's going to be their point guard, per se. He's just a guy who's a good passer and a smart guy. But it doesn't feel like he's the guy, because last night in the draft we saw Chicago making queries to other teams about high draft picks in order to get up and get Chris Dunn from Providence. It didn't turn out that way, but that told me right there that maybe they don't have full confidence in Jose Calderon at this point for them to lead their team. And, you know, they used their first-round pick, the 14th overall, on Denzel Valentine from Michigan State, a great pick. But at the same time, doesn't really address your point guard need in your situation.
Yeah, Valentine, he's a pretty good player. Kind of he played small forward in college. I think he's going to be a two guard in the NBA. But he's only about 6'5". You know, he played the wing in college. They might think that he could transition to the point in the NBA. He's a good passer, so maybe they think he can develop into a point guard. You know, who knows.
And also what this trade means is that this pretty much gives Joakim Noah and Pau Gasol a heads up that, hey, we know you're going to sign somewhere else. We're not really interested in working a deal, you coming back to play with us. Joakim Noah already has said that there's no chance he comes back to Chicago. You got to think Pau Gasol getting to the end of his career, he's going to be looking for a title contender, maybe going to San Antonio, maybe going to New York, where his pal Phil Jackson is the GM. So a couple of big moves. This is all kind of a domino effect now with Chicago, because they get rid of Derrick Rose and they bring in a guy like Robin Lopez, who's now going to be their center. And that makes Joakim Noah and Pau Gasol available for every other team in the NBA.
Yeah. They might try and re-sign Noah to a cheap one-year veteran minimum type deal, but Gasol, I think, is definitely gone. And I wouldn't be surprised if both of them leave, but at least they have, you know, brought in Lopez, which can help fill that void.
It's kind of an interesting situation with Chicago and their ownership after trading Derrick Rose on Wednesday. And then, obviously, you know, you're getting Robin Lopez back. That means two of your big guys, Powell and Joakim, are probably not coming back. And then in the draft, you know, strongly aggressive, you know, with talks with Minnesota and requiring the fifth pick to possibly draft Chris Dunn to fill that point guard role. I mean, if Minnesota had accepted that offer, we could be looking at a Chicago team with no Derrick Rose, no Jimmy Butler, and no Joakim Noah or Pau Gasol, all in a matter of 2 days. So it's interesting what's happening in Chicago right now, as you know, they missed the playoffs last year in the first year in the era of Fred Hoiberg. Obviously, there's some bad blood between Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose, and then that's kind of what forced this trade to happen. So with Chicago, you kind of thought maybe they would make a few moves to not really dismantle their roster, but put some pieces back together and make a strong run for the playoffs this year. But it seems to me they're heading more into a rebuilding phase than anything else.
Definitely going to be a new look to that team next year. But you know they're at a crossroads. You know, they failed to make the playoffs last year. You know, Derrick Rose is past his prime, can't stay healthy. Gasol, Noah, obviously Pastor Prime. They just got an eye on the future, and I kind of like the direction that they're heading in.
They did have another pick in the draft, the 48th overall. They get a guy from Germany, Paul Zipser, small forward over there. He's going to be probably a stash guy they have in Germany over the next year or so. But it's going to be interesting in the direction that Chicago goes from here.
Definitely.
And Clay, a trade that kind of hits us more home. We pretty much saw this coming last year. We thought maybe we'd get it at the trade deadline. Ends up happening at the draft, or the day before the draft, rather. And that's the Atlanta Hawks trade their veteran point guard, Jeff Teague, to the Indiana Pacers in a three-team deal with the Utah Jazz as well. And the Indiana Pacers are going to send their point guard, George Hill, to Utah, which gives them some veteranship over there after they had a really young core over there. I like Utah. I like what they're doing, and I think they're going to have, you know, with the having Shelvin Mack from Atlanta last year, now having George Hill from Indiana, they're going to have two really smart veteran point guards that's going to be able to shape and mold that young team they have over there in Utah. Meanwhile, Atlanta gets the 12th pick from Utah, and they use that on your boy Jaron Prince. Oh, sorry, Taron Prince from Baylor.
Yeah. And I'm glad Atlanta got something. You know, with Prince. So how does that work? The Jazz make the pick? I mean, it was the Jazz's pick. So can they just pick anybody they want? Or
No. Atlanta, what happens is the teams, they have of course discussions on what they want to do, and the team who eventually gets that pick tells the other team who's making the pick what they want, and they go out and just draft it for them.
And what if they don't do that? What if they break the deal? Then it's a trade-off or something?
Well, you know what? The NBA, more than any other league out there, is all about relationships. And after hearing many, many interviews this year with high-profile front office guys, it's all about relationships, all about who you know, and past trades you made. Like, building that relationship takes time. So these trades that you make, it could come back to bite you in the end. So say Utah didn't pick Taron Prince like Atlanta wanted, pick somebody else, that's going to pretty much mean that Utah, which would never happen because of, you know, Mike Budenholzer and Utah, that's two teams. You know, you see several teams make picks together, you know, over the course of 4 or 5 years. They stick to guys they know and where they feel comfortable making trades. So that would never happen there with Utah. That's a really safe team. You know, Quinn Snyder, of course, being an Atlanta guy too, that pays so much into it as well. But going out and saying that they may have picked somebody else, that's going to kill their relationship going forward, and you can't trust that GM or, you know, that president of basketball operations going forward on any more deals in the future. And that also, you know, that makes everyone else see, all the other front office guys say, oh, well, they backed out on a deal and didn't do right. That's something we can't trust that guy going forward in the trade either. So it really looks worse on you than it would be if you picked the wrong guy in the draft.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. I just wonder how that whole thing worked. What if they drafted, you know, some guy that wasn't even supposed to be picked, or when he's, you know, renting a Bob Hunt or something, you know? I mean, what if it was, you know what I mean? That would just – but, yeah, that makes sense.
So interesting pick. I think it kind of works for all three teams. Utah gets a veteran point guard. Indiana gets another point guard they were needing, another guy who could shoot a little bit better than George Hill. They got him a little bit younger, has another year on his deal, Jeff Teague does, going to the end of it next year. And then Atlanta gets, you know, they have obviously passed the keys over to your boy Dennis Schroeder, and they're also got some young guys on the wing in this year's draft to help them out going forward.
Yeah, I'm as a Hawks fan, you got to be happy. Jeff Teague's going into his last year of the deal. You wasn't going to re-sign, and you get a lottery pick for him. So, you know what I mean? So I was very happy when I heard that news.
And that's something we eventually knew was going to happen, that Jeff Teague was probably going to get moved. And really, Atlanta also saves money towards the cap, getting rid of Jeff Teague. That saves them a little bit more to go out and keep Al Horford, possibly end up saving enough after all this is over to acquire Kent Bazemore as well on a new year deal. So you get enough money to sign your own guys back, or you get some money to go out and get someone else. That was a move that they had to make just because of the jumbo point guard position. And I think they did it pretty well, unless they would have waited to the July 1st deadline and then just swap free agents. But I think they did a good job of getting a pick this early in the draft.
Most definitely. Got to get a backup point guard now, but maybe they can find a wily veteran who knows that.
Kirk Heinrich, man.
Well, yeah. Does he still have a year left on that deal? Or
he's a free agent. They'll have to sign him back to a deal. So there's going to be a lot of jumble going on. That's another key part in them having a little bit more money to go out and re-sign Al Horford.
Yeah.
And before we get to the draft, there's also another trade that happened yesterday. Before the draft, the Brooklyn Nets parted ways with their forward Thaddeus Young. He sent him to Indiana. He's going to be partnered with Jeff Teague for the 20th pick of this year's draft and a second rounder for next year. And with that 20th pick in this year's draft, the Brooklyn Nets selected Caris LeVert, the shooting guard from Michigan. It's a kind of a gamble when you think about his injury history in Michigan.
Yeah.
But a guy who, when healthy, can be really productive. And, you know, has a pretty good length as well to him. So you add him, a couple guys they already have on a young roster who really, it seems kind of just kind of confused, really. You think about their roster right now, it's not in a good place, but they do have some young guys they can use as assets or try to mold them and produce them and put them on the floor with a new head coach this year.
Yeah, Absolutely. Yeah. Man, I like the direction that Indiana's going in, I'll just be honest with you.
A team who barely made the playoffs last year, who really, it didn't feel that way, right? It felt like Indiana was better than the 8 seed. And then this year, making a few moves, they're in a really good position. I know you have some other teams that's going to make a leap forward this year, but Indiana's in a really good position to be better than what they were last year, even with a new head coach.
No doubt about it. They got a good coach, you know, Nate McMillan.
Right.
We've already talked about that, but yeah. I like the moves. I'll be honest with you, I do.
So we got, you know, the off season so far for Indiana.
Getting younger. Yeah, getting younger and upgrading the talent, I think.
So far for Indiana, the off season looks like getting a new head coach, Nate McMillan. You go out and you get a point guard like Jeff Teague. You also go out and get you a young forward who can stretch the floor a little bit like Thaddeus Young can. Really good defender as well. And you throw in your team that you already have there with Monte Ellis, Paul George, obviously. Indiana's going to be in a good position next year.
Yeah.
That is. If Paul George doesn't get injured in Rio this year, he already accepted his invitation to go and play for Team USA. Hopefully he doesn't get re-injured just like he did when he was there last year training for Team USA.
He's going to go.
Well,
I hope he stays healthy.
I'm sure we all do. Just like all the Indiana fans out there, we hope he gets limited playing time now that Kevin Durant's going to play there as well. They kind of manage his activity a little bit better than they did last time he was there.
So
Clay, that leads us to the NBA draft. We knew 2 days ahead of time who the first two names off the board were going to be. The Philadelphia 76ers had informed Ben Simmons that they were going to take him with the first overall pick, and the Lakers followed right suit with that just a few hours later. No-brainer, taking Brandon Ingram, one of my favorite players in this draft, at the number two spot.
Yeah. You got to love those first two picks. I really like the Ingram. I think at this point, Ingram's a better player, but Simmons has a higher ceiling, which I think a lot of people would agree with that. Would you say that's a pretty fair
Yeah, thing? I mean, Ben Simmons definitely has a size, and he has more – he's more versatile, I think, than Brandon Ingram. But in a shooting league in the way that we're going – In the last few years, you look at the Golden State Warriors and what they're all about on the offensive end is shooting threes, and that's something that Ben Simmons didn't even hardly attempt in his 1 year at LSU, only 3 3-point shot attempts. And Brandon Ingram on the other end was a fantastic 3-point shooter, 42% from the field. And then he's also, you know, just a more productive shooter than Ben Simmons, but at the same time, he can't get to the paint and rough guys up like Ben Simmons can either. So they have their pros and their cons, both positions, both players. But I think either way for these two organizations, it's a home run.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. You know, the Sixers got to be kind of – I mean, they got all these, you know, four – I mean, they got – now they got Simmons, they got Carl Landry, they got Nerlens Noel, you know, the guy from Kansas, the guy Okafor. I mean, they're stacking up on post players. You know, are they going to – keep everybody, you think? Or I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, that's a pretty good. If you know, if the what's the guy from Kansas, Embiid?
Yeah, Joel Embiid.
You know, if they actually can play and actually stay healthy, I mean, that's a pretty good front. I mean, you know, I guess Landry's more of a three. I don't know, Carl Landry. He used to be really good. I don't know, he might have been very good last year. I really don't know. I didn't keep up with the Sixers very much. You might not have either, so I don't know. I'm keeping an eye on Philadelphia. They need a point guard. They need a shooting guard, obviously. But, you know, I think they're heading in the right direction. What do you think?
I think you're right. It's too early to tell everything from, you know, what it looks like for Philadelphia at this point in the season, of course. But, you know, getting a little bit new management in there, and you get lucky. You get the first overall pick. You stuck to the process, and you finally got your first overall pick. You didn't use it on a big man for the first time in about 15 years, so that worked out good for you. You just happened to get the first overall pick in a year where Ben Simmons is coming out, going to be the number one overall pick. You get a great guy like that, and going forward. And you know, I tell you what, Philadelphia really wanted to do. What they were trying to do there was they wanted to select Ben Simmons with the number one overall pick, trade Nerlens Noel or Jahlil Okafor. and other picks for the number 3 pick to Boston in order to get Chris Dunn. That did not happen. That was one of the many things that Boston was juggling with at the number 3 position. They were in talks, aggressive talks, with Philadelphia and Minnesota about acquiring that pick for star players or young talent like Philadelphia could offer. But I thought it was interesting how Boston couldn't reach a deal with Chicago in order to get Jimmy Butler in a Celtic uniform. And they couldn't. And then, of course, I don't think if you're Danny Ainge, you're really interested in hearing much of a pitch from Philadelphia at this point with offering Nerlens Noel or Jahlil Okafor, two guys who haven't really been that productive in their short time in the league. So they did a good move. They did a good move keeping their pick, I believe. I thought maybe they would either trade it to Chicago or maybe take Chris Dunn, but they end up going to a bigger guy, small forward from California. They draft Jaylen Brown, a guy whose stock had risen in the last week and a half or so. A really good, solid pick by Boston and Danny Ainge. And then he thought after this point, they would really start be able to shop all the right picks, but didn't really happen that way.
They just kept them all, didn't they? I don't know what they're going to do with them. I mean, they might trade some of them, you know, or cash some and put some in the D-League, I guess. Just have open competition. I mean, those second-round guys, they get cut every day, I guess. So I guess just have a competition and let the best, you know, 13 or 14, however many makes the roster, you know what I mean?
Well, they're going to stash over half, you know, more than half of these guys. They're going to keep Jaylen Brown, obviously. I actually like what they did with their 16th pick, getting Gershon Yabusele from France. It's a really good young talent guy who's has his game has really, you know, kind of come forward in the last year or so, getting better and better the more you see him in camps and things like that. So that's a guy who's on the way up, still have a lot of learning to do. He's going to take him 3 or 4 years to get into the flow and be able, you know, to be one of those guys you can depend on. But as a young guy and a pick in this draft, that was a good solid pick for Danny Ainge to go to there. Now, the rest of these picks, you can say they're iffy. You can give Atlanta, you know, Boston this year, this is going to be the most important draft for Boston in recent history, you know, going back to the last 5 years or so, because you thought they were going to make some big moves to get Kevin Durant. They can still go out and get Kevin Durant, by the way, and use some of these picks to do so. But you thought they're going to package all this stuff in and get maybe Jimmy Butler in the draft, you know, which I don't see that happening towards, you know, now. This, if they were going to do it, they would have done it then. So now Boston looks like they're going to either sign Kevin Durant, maybe use some of these picks to Oklahoma City, who has made it apparent that they're looking to get younger with younger talent that they made in a trade later. But Boston, you know, not too happy. I know the fans cannot be too happy with some of these picks that Boston had made. I know they made the best that they could in some of these spots, but not at all what the Boston Celtics native were looking for in this year's draft.
Yeah. Well, they drafted a big center, Zeke or whatever. He could potentially be a good stash candidate, I guess. Solinger, their center, you know, he's a pretty good player, but he's a little underwhelming at times, so I think they're possibly thinking about upgrading his spot. I think if there had been a dominant center in the draft, I think they would have took a center with the third pick. But I don't think there's anybody there that they felt, you know.
But yeah, Boston, you know, there was many things that they could have done here. They could have used it, this pick, in a way to get a trade with Chicago for Jimmy Butler. They could have used it with Philadelphia to get maybe some big guys there. And some other guys they thought they could have possibly taken at that number 3 spot. They could have took Chris Dunn. They could have took a guy like Dragan Bender from Croatia, one of the biggest European name out there in this year's draft. They could have, a lot of people had him on their board at that spot. But they end up going with a guy from California, Jaylen Brown, which I think is a solid pick. And we'll see from here which direction the Celtics go in as we start free agency 1 week from today.
They're definitely in the right direction, though. No doubt about it.
And now that leads us to the fourth pick. We're not going to go through every single pick in the first round or the second round, but just some of the highlights, especially in the top 10 picks, as a lot of these names were really big and a lot of attention was paid to what team these players would go to. And a guy like Dragan Bender, whose stock rose in the last probably 2 to 3 weeks leading up to the draft. You heard his name a lot floating out there around Boston. It's a really good guy who wasn't really used the way that the people here in America were thinking he could possibly be used in the league. Maccabi Tel Aviv didn't use him that well as a starter. He really came off the bench for them. But it was really productive when he did. He's a guy who's a really great defender. I think it's an underrated part of his game. He's a really good defender, really good passer as well, and a very smart player, which really fits into what Phoenix is going into right now. They get that pick at the number four. They get Bender there. Yeah. And I think you got to like the direction Phoenix is going into. I know they didn't make a home run hire with Earl Watson as their coach, but when the players in the locker room stand by him and say that we want this guy to be our coach and remove right. that interim tag and sign him, that means a lot to the organization. So for that to happen, they obviously have a tight group in the locker room. They go out and sign a few big names in this year's draft that I think will be able to contribute to them. They make a few trades in here as well with Sacramento in a couple of key spots. But able to draft a guy like Bender is going to come over immediately. He's not going to be stashed. He's going to come over right immediately. And being a Suns uniform this year is a really good pick for Phoenix.
Yeah. I definitely like the direction they're heading in. I agree with you.
And then they also get a point guard, which this seems to be like the NBA's version of Kentucky point guards because they keep drafting these guys. And they keep trading for these guys as well. But they get Tyler Eunice from Kentucky, the 34th pick. It's a really good move there and a really good solid pick for a point guard spot after you can't really trust who you have now with Bledsoe and those guys getting injured over the last two seasons.
Surprised the big name Mark Eulis fell that far, but I guess he didn't. I mean, he felt a little underwhelmed by some of his play in Kentucky, so I guess I shouldn't be surprised. But, he was a real big name coming out of high school, which all Kentucky players are. I think I could potentially be a steal. Taking him in the second round, I really do.
And one of the biggest, most paid attention pick in this draft, other than the first two, of course, and number three with Boston, was the number fifth pick in this draft that was in the hands of Tom Thibodeau and Minnesota Timberwolves. What's going to be the first step that they're going to do to transition this team to a playoff contender?
Yeah.
And I love what they did here. They were in aggressive conversations with Chicago. I was told that Chicago had offered Jimmy Butler to Minnesota for the fifth overall pick and Zach LaVine, and Minnesota had turned that down. They could have had Jimmy Butler at the number five pick. Instead, they end up keeping their pick and drafting a guy who Tom Thibodeau has absolutely loved his game in the last year or so, following him and watching film. He had a big smile on his face when this guy was still on the board at number five. To me, it was a no-brainer situation with who you're going to pick just if you don't trade it. And they go out and they sign one of the best guys, and I mean that not only as a player, but one of the best men individual in this draft, and Chris Dunn from Providence. Just a really great, solid pick, and you got to like what you see now from Minnesota. Just, the dream of having, Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, and now, Chris Dunn all on the starting floor together. It's looking pretty promising in the next, maybe not next year, but the next 3 years or so, you're going to really see Minnesota start jumping up to the top of the West.
But that means no more Ricky Rubio.
Well, and I heard that Minnesota's going to be shopping him around. Tom Thibodeau actually come out and said after the draft that they didn't have any discussions in the draft about trading Ricky Rubio. But after you get a guy like Chris Dunn, who you think is going to be thrown immediately into the starting lineup, you think at some point in this offseason, Ricky Rubio, who's a guy who's already said that he is open to playing somewhere else, you could probably see him on the move before next season.
Yeah, I would think so. It's been rumored for a while, so not surprised, really.
And two really good solid picks at 6 and 7. The Pelicans go out and get one of the best shooters in this draft in Buddy Hield, and Denver also getting a good three-point shooter as well in Jamal Murray from Kentucky.
I like both picks. I really do. Especially, I really like Jamal Murray. I thought he was, Buddy Hield too. Those are both, really proven players on the big stage, leading their teams. With Chris Dunn, he's one of my favorite players too. All three of those guys really had big years and really led their teams, to the tournament. All three of those picks I give A grades for. Especially right there in the 5th, 6th, 7th range. That's really good picks in that range too, I think.
I think the Denver Nuggets had one of the best drafts this year, and probably the best that they've had, like all together drafts that they've had in a long time. Not only do they get Jamal Murray, the number 7 pick, but they also get Juan Hernan Gomez from Spain at the 15th pick, and just a few positions later, a guy who I really like at the 19th pick, they go out and get his shooting guard in Malik Beasley from Florida State.
Wow. Yeah, Beasley. I remember him in Florida State. He's a really good player. I thought that was a good pick. Late in the first round, I think, or 19.
Yeah, 19th pick.
And a little bit undersized guy, but he, you know, he's kind of a Jamal Crawford type, you know, about 6'4", 6'5", scores, good shooter. I think he could be a good six-man type player.
I really like what the Denver Nuggets did in this draft. I felt like every time you looked up at the board, you would see Denver's name or Phoenix's name or Sacramento's name. But, you know, you go back to the Phoenix Suns here, and they actually had made a trade with Sacramento for the 8th overall pick, and they draft Marquise Chriss from Washington, another big name who had risen in the last 2 weeks to the draft. That's a really good pick as well by Phoenix.
They had a good draft, no doubt about it.
I like what they did. I like what they did there, Marquise Chriss. Toronto gets a guy who really fits into the mold of what they want to do right now, and Jakob Poeltl from Utah. That's a big center who you would think at this time, you know, in a draft where there's not many true centers, and there's teams that are obviously looking for centers. You mentioned Boston earlier.
Yeah.
Didn't really feel like he was a top three guy, but falling to Toronto right there, that gives them a really good guy who has great size and really fits into Toronto's style. And a guy who's 7'1", 239, and almost averaged a double-double last year with Utah. That's a guy who's going to fit in really well with Kyle Lowry, and who knows what happens with Bismack Biyombo, but now you have insurance if he leaves and goes somewhere else with big money. You have Jakob Poeltl right there to step in and fill the void. And one of the biggest names we heard about going into this draft was the high school kid, 19-year-old Thon Maker. And a lot of people didn't know where he would go. They were, you know, projections had him just outside the first round just because of the so much unknowns of this guy and his athleticism. And, you know, we didn't know that much about him. He kind of came out on the scene in the middle of the season this year. And he really ends up getting a big jump. He ends up being a lottery pick. The Jason Kidd and the Milwaukee Bucks take him with number 10 pick. Thon Maker, again, the high schooler out of Australia. You got to like what you see from his athleticism. He's a really tall, lanky guy. 7'1", 216. He's another smart player. I like the way that he handles himself, just in the way he goes through interviews and everything. He's really just a great guy, it seems like. Really smart kid, and at the same time, who can contribute in multiple amount of ways. He's a good shooter, and he's also a really good passer as well.
Yeah. Milwaukee's just going for all these guys, mate. All these, foreign guys with crazy size. You know, I can't pronounce his name.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, that's my boy. And I like this pick. I think they have a pretty bright future together with them too. I really do.
Yeah. You got maybe Antetokounmpo at the number 1 spot next year. You bring in Thon Maker. You have Chris Middleton. You have Greg Monroe, who's a really big guy. They'll probably trade him this year before we get to the next season. But the same, if you look at their starting five right now, and then you add in Thon Maker off the bench, really tall and big size. And that's really, if you look at the Golden State and Oklahoma City series, what is one thing that troubled Golden State Warriors was the length of the Thunder. You know, you guys like Kevin Durant and Andre Robertson, Steven Adams, Enes Kanter. So I think the Bucks are, you know, looking at that a little bit and saying, hey, you know what, we have to get a little bit bigger as well, and maybe, you know, kind of take away the paint in some ways, because you really won't be able to see it within all the trees.
You're right. I think a lot of teams are going to be heading in that direction with the length. Yeah, it definitely caused them to face some problems. 7'1" guys, you know, with those tough skills, you know, don't grow on trees. And I think that's why they went ahead and reached for him just a bit at the 10th pick. And it could turn out to be a bust if he, you know, he is raw. But I think in due time, it'll turn out to be a pretty good pick.
I think you're right on that. And that brings us to the 11th pick, where, you know, something really big happened. We have Kevin Durant going into free agency this year. We're not sure in what direction he's leaning to. you would think maybe with the Warriors winning the championship, if they had done that, he would probably not consider them as much as he is right now. But the Oklahoma City Thunder didn't have a pick in this draft until they forced their way in with a trade with the Orlando Magic for the 11th overall pick. The Thunder trade, you know, big name right here, Serge Ibaka, to the Magic. To the Magic in exchange for Victor Oladipo, Ersan Ilyasova, and the rights to Domantas Sabonis, the pick that they made right there at the number 11 spot from Gonzaga.
I was really surprised when I heard that. Because all I can remember from Thurs this year was just being, you know, a shell of the player. I mean, he had a few good games in the playoffs, but overall this year it just seemed like he was a shell of the player he once was. So I was really surprised that they pulled that off.
Yeah, he got really overshadowed by Steven Adams in the way that he came up in the playoffs and really outplayed Serge Ibaka in every way. And, of course, when Serge was in there and they want to use him for his shot, because he's a guy who can knock down threes when he's open and knock down that jump shot at the free throw line, he didn't make any of those shots.
Yeah.
So that's a guy who really struggled down the stretch. And unfortunately for him, you know, the last thing that's on your mind, especially as a fan, the last time you saw this guy was underachieving in the time that it mattered most.
He's still a relatively young guy with a lot of potential, so we'll see.
And that's a guy who is going now into the last year of his deal. So who's going to be a free agent at the end of next year? So you got to factor in his free agency next year, along with Russell Westbrook and maybe Kevin Durant if he signs a one and done deal. So that's three guys you probably want to be able to bring back, all of them at the same time anyway. So a move maybe down the future Sam Presti saw, went ahead and made it, got himself a good lottery pick. With some other young guys, you know, Oladipo was a guy that many teams had tried to get from Orlando in the last 2 years, and they were turned down. And it almost seemed like a no-brainer for Orlando, who needed a big name and a big guy in the post, and they really got one in Serge Ibaka. Now, if they still go out and get Al Horford or try to get Al Horford, that kind of hurts their chances a little bit. But they do have a guy now who's going to draw some fans to the stadium and also be able to protect the paint a little bit better. Going down some of the names here, like I said, I'm not going to go through all these picks. Atlanta gets the Taurean Prince pick at the number 12 spot after the trade with Indiana and Utah. You know, one crazy thing here with the 13th pick, you know, the Sacramento Kings, they get this pick here with a trade with Phoenix. And, you know, DeMarcus Cousins, who the worst thing he could have done was made himself known, what he was doing or made any kind of attention to himself in the draft night. He did that. The Sacramento Kings went out and selected Georgios Papagiannis from Greece. And first thing DeMarcus Cousins does is tweet, Lord, give me strength, with the emoji of the prayer emoji.
Yeah.
And a lot of people started retweeting that and took that as criticism to him. Of course, that's not what he wanted right there at that pick. Now, a lot of people are asking today, do you want DeMarcus Cousins on your team? And to me, this is something I've thought for the last year and a half, 2 years, the way that his attitude is. You know, it's a guy who could arguably be hurting his team more than he's helping his team at the same time.
I mean, when you can't even get along with George Karl, that sounds pretty bad.
I mean, why would you not like George Karl?
Right.
He's like one of the best dudes in the history of NBA, and he's like the third most winningest coach in league history.
Right.
So,
overcome cancer, some people that's how they are.
Now, Sacramento, they did get back into the good graces of DeMarcus Cousins with the 22nd pick. They drafted Malachi Richardson from Syracuse. I'm not sure what Cousins tweeted at that point, but he did agree with that pick. And a name that had really slipped, you know, all the way through the first part of the draft. People were asking, where is this guy going to go? Where is he going to end up? He really slipped almost out of the first round, but Sacramento picks him up with the 28th pick at Skyle Labissiere from Kentucky, a big name, a really good player in the SEC this year. He also goes to Kentucky, and I like what they did. Georgios Papagiannis is a guy who's a really big guy. Like, I'm going to tell you how big he is, Clay, and it's crazy how big this dude is. He's 7'2", 240 pounds, and he's 18 Whoa. Years old.
Wow. That's insane.
So that's a guy who is obviously a huge athlete, but you don't expect him to be over here playing for the Kings for the next couple of years. He's obviously going to need development. But what they did later on in the first part of this draft with getting Richardson and Labissiere, I like those picks, and so did DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah. I like it, too. And I think Cousins, maybe with a good night's sleep, he'll wake up and realize what a fool he was, but, yeah, probably not.
I don't think he'll ever realize that.
Yeah, he is DeMarcus Cousins, after all.
Going through some of the names here, just some of the highlights. Chicago gets a guy, like I mentioned earlier, the shooting guard spot, small forward in college from Michigan State, Denzel Valentine, one of the best players this year in college basketball. Really good pick there. Juan Hernan Gomez from Spain goes to Denver. And, you know, probably my favorite name. I love all these European names, by the way. I love learning how to pronounce them. Thank you.
You haven't had long to do your homework, but you definitely,
you're
fooling me, the one. I don't know.
Well, I'm trying my best, and from what I'm trying to understand, this is how you pronounce these names, and hopefully I'm not making a fool out of myself. But my favorite name in the draft last night.
I need a name.
My favorite name in the draft, we posted a picture of him. You can go to our website or our Facebook page. The sports report, check out the picture of him. He's in, like, for some reason, European uniforms are absolutely disgusting. They're gross. Like, they're really bright colors. There's a lot of, language on them. It makes no sense why anyone would put those on and play basketball in them. And his colors, his uniform was, pink and bright green. Just terrible colors. Yeah. And he looks like that he was in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And his name is Gershon Yabusele. Just an amazing name. If I want to change my name, I'm changing my name to Gershon Yabusele.
Go for it.
I love that name. I love that pick, too, by Boston. Hopefully they give him some time to develop, because I think that's a guy who could help them down the road.
They know what they're doing. I'm fully convinced that Danny Ainge and Boston know what they're doing.
And a guy that you mentioned earlier that they got, a big center that they got, the 23rd pick from Croatia, Ante Zizic. That's another good guy who could possibly come right on over. I don't think they're going to stash him. If they do, it won't be for more than 1 year. He's a guy who they think is going to contribute to him, or they could use him if they end up getting a trade with Kevin Durant in Oklahoma City with a sign-in trade. They can trade him to Oklahoma City.
Yeah. All right. So, play guy. Nothing wrong with getting a good ready-to-play European guy.
And, go ahead.
I don't think it'd be the next Dirk, but he's not that sort of player, but.
Yeah, not the next Dirk, but obviously a big guy that Boston needs right now. And obviously, you can make the same argument for Oklahoma City if they now have to fill that role with Serge Ibaka. I know they got Steven Adams and Enes Kanter, but, you get a young guy like that who, by the time he's productive, you won't have Enes Kanter anymore, and Steven Adams will be towards the end of his contract as well. So, it's crazy how it plays into all these different situations.
Right.
Another name that I love a lot here, Philadelphia made the pick at the 24th spot. I'm convinced they know what they're doing too this year. They go out and get a guy from France, Timothy Luwawu. Really good pick there, and a really good athlete as well, who's going to be able to transition into the NBA game really well, I think.
I think so, too. Hopefully he can be one of those guys that you mentioned that overseas guys that doesn't have to be stashed come in right away. Some of them are a lot more, better along, than some of the others. So, yeah, they could definitely use the help, for sure.
I think it was maybe 16 international players that came over in last night's draft. That's the most we've had in an NBA draft since 1973, which works out pretty well for a lot of these teams who are looking for some young guys.
Yeah, it really does.
Philadelphia also made a pick at 26, a guy from Turkey, Furkan Korkmaz, another good shooting guard right there. I don't know what you do with both of those guys, both being in the same position. I think Luwawu has a better upside, but Korkmaz might have a little bit better size to him. So it'll be interesting to see what Philadelphia does there. That could be a guy that is stashed for sure overseas in Turkey.
Could be. I don't think both of them will be NBA. I think one will be stashed and one will play this year. That's just my opinion.
That's the way it seems, both them being the same position, right?
Yeah. I was really surprised they didn't go with a point guard with one of those picks, but I guess they didn't.
Maybe, you know what the thing with Ben Simmons is, you know, you're going to see Philadelphia start playing positionless, where they're going to have the best five available players on their team out there at the same time. Ben Simmons is going to look like a point guard at some times.
I have Okafor at the three. No,
do what?
I have Okafor at the three. And
they could. I mean, they can give Nerlens Noel the ball at the point and put Ben Simmons at the center position.
There you go.
But, you know, some big names fell to the end of the first round and the beginning of the second. I think San Antonio made a really good pick in Devontae Murray, a guy from Washington, a good point guard who could fill the shoes of Tony Parker after next season. And Golden State made a good pick, a center from Vanderbilt, Damian Jones.
Pretty good player. Or another one of those bandy guys, you know, kind of underachieved this year in college, but definitely a lot of potential.
And we saw, you know, a Boston make a trade with Memphis at the number 31 spot, the first pick in the second round, a guy who fell all the way out of the first round, who has obviously had to be discouraged.
About him all night.
Yeah.
I think they started talking about him at around pick number 10 or 11. I mean, they were talking about him pretty early.
Right, a guy who they thought was going to go way early. Obviously, somewhere in the top 20 range. He ends up falling out of the first round. That's Devontae Davis of Michigan State, a big center guy. The Memphis gets, who I think is going to play really well into what they want to do now. Marc Gasol, who will be back next year after his injury, of course. You have Jamichael Green, who you're going to have to pay money to. He's been really productive in the time that he's been with Memphis. And now you have Devontae Davis. You may be stockpiling your centers a little bit, but you can also, you know, push him to the power forward position and keep Pau Gasol, or not Pau Gasol, but Marc Gasol at the center spot and use that rotationally pretty well.
I remember Jamichael Green at Alabama. I think it was his last season. He was shooting three, so he's got a little bit of, I mean, I know the NBA three is built his other way, but I think Jamichael could play a little bit of four. He could stretch the floor a little bit.
And you got to love his effort that he showed in the playoffs last year with the first round with San Antonio. Just a guy who there was one possession where San Antonio got the defensive rebound. He chased down Tony Parker, knocked the ball out of his hands on the defensive end, picked it back up, went on, and dunked it on the other end for a fast break score. All this in a matter of 10 seconds. That's a guy who you're going to have to, he earned a spot on the roster coming from the D League. They still haven't paid him money. He's going to end up being a free agent this year. Memphis is going to have to pick him up and give him a full-time spot on that team. Some other names that fell out of the first round, we mentioned Tyler Unis going to Phoenix, a 34th pick. And some other names down towards the bottom of the draft. We look at a guy like Marcus Paige, one of the best point guards in this year's draft, fell down to the Utah Jazz pick at 55. A really good pick there from the guy from North Carolina.
Big-time shooter, yeah. I remember that. He had a great tournament run. Yeah, that's surprised that he went that far. He was a little streaky in college, but he made some big shots. I think he's a good player. Definitely not lacking in confidence.
So I think I like what most of these teams did in this draft. There's a few that make you kind of scratch your head a little bit, but majority is a really good draft. A lot of young talent that I'm excited to see how it turns out for these teams and these franchises. You look at a guy like Bryce Johnson from North Carolina. A teammate of Marcus Paige going to 25 to the Clippers. That's a really good pick for them. A really good, smart move going forward.
I agree.
And now, Clay, that transitions us into free agency that begins a week from today. We know the biggest name, of course, is Kevin Durant, but there's also some other names out there as well. You know, with the trade happening with Serge Ibaka, does that kind of hurt Oklahoma's chances of keeping Kevin Durant for a one-year, possibly longer, term deal on a contract?
It may. I think he'll sign a one-year deal and kind of see how things go this year. I've kind of thought that all the whole time, and now I really have that suspicion. But that's just my guess.
it still kind of feels like he's going to come back on a one-year deal. Obviously, with that trade with Orlando getting Oladipo and some young guys as well, and also getting a guy like Yulio Silva who can stretch the floor and knock down threes at a higher rate than Serge could. Getting guys like that is going to actually make them a little bit younger and be able to stretch the floor a little bit better. But at the same time, if Golden State's knocking at your door, they're offering you a max contract, and they can still have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and all these other guys, it's going to make it really tough to turn down in order to stay in Oklahoma City. The one thing that you would think there was no chance he would go to Golden State if you watched that series between the two teams, because it looked like he was going to knock them out. And at that point, why would you want to go to that team when you beat them in the playoffs? But now that they lost to him and that the Warriors lost the championship, it makes it more appealing, I think, for Kevin Durant not to be a bandwagon player, but to go into maybe the best situation for him.
That'd be such an interesting dynamic. I don't know who would be the superstar and who would take a back seat. When that was the big three in Miami, it was still obvious LeBron was the main guy. Who's going to be the main three of those? Klay, Curry, Durant, and even Draymond Green. That's a big four there. Who's going to be? Draymond, I guess, would know his role, but would Durant be the main man, or would it? You know what I mean? It's an interesting dynamic.
The best thing about getting star guys together, and especially having a group like this, they're really just really good, solid guys who understand the aspect of teammanship more than going out and getting your own, like someone like James Harden.
Right.
But having all these guys who understand the game better, understand that they can achieve more when they play together, you see their numbers going down. Like Kevin Durant and Steph Curry are not going to average close to 30 points. They're going to average closer to 22, 24. But at the same time, if you have three or four guys who can get you anywhere from 16 to 25 all apiece every night, that's still going to look really good for your team and going forward in the playoffs. Which, if you look at Golden State, one of the things that killed them in the series against Cleveland, strangely enough, was the ability to make their shots. Steph and Klay both got cold for most part of the series. Draymond Green got hot in Game 7, hit a couple of three-pointers. What was one thing they could have used when Steph and Klay were down, especially in Game 5 with Draymond Green? They could have used like Kevin Durant, who can attack the paint, get his shot, get to the foul line, and create his shot, not down from shots from outside as well.
Yeah, that's true. They definitely could have used Kevin Durant against the Cavs, no doubt about it. But I'll wear some bars and do some good things. But that would definitely be a huge upgrade to that wing spot.
It just feels like to me that Harrison Barnes is on his way out no matter what. The way that his relationship with the Warriors had kind of transpired over the last half of the season, especially not having a good run in the playoffs, in the finals, in back-to-back games, he was 4 out of 44 from shooting, which is, you can't do that in the finals.
Right.
So a guy who forgot how to shoot in the finals, now he's going to turn around and get max money somewhere. I don't think it's from this team, especially if they want to have any shot at getting Kevin Durant, which they have to make their choice. Do they go out and try to get Kevin Durant, or do they try to re-sign a guy who's going to get paid more than what he deserves?
Oh, yeah. He's not a max money guy anywhere, in my opinion. I know that's not how it's going to be, but that's just my opinion.
Well, Klay, we have a lot to get to. There's some other names, of course, to get out there. Dirk Nowitzki and Manu Ginobili are two guys who opted out of their last year of their contracts to be free agents. We don't expect them to be on the move anywhere. They both have come out and said that they're going to re-sign with those teams. Manu said he's going to test free agency, but at the same time, you already know he's going to come back on a one-year cheap deal for San Antonio. And Dirk is doing this to restructure deals to get other guys to come to Dallas. So names like that have been floated out there as free agents, but we really don't expect those guys to go anywhere else.
Yeah, there's been a few rumors of Dirk going to Golden State, but I really don't see it happen.
You also have guys from Dallas who Deron Williams has opted out to be a free agent. You really think he may be on the way out. And Chandler Parsons, a guy who opted out of his contract now and wants a max deal, who has been injured for the majority of his time in Dallas, especially last season. That's a guy at the same time who could be on his way out in Dallas as well, especially if he's going to be demanding a max contract in which Dallas would not match from another team. So someone is going to fool themselves in signing Deron Williams to a pretty big contract, which, you know, smartly, he could make a smart move by going to a contender instead of trying to get money to go for another team that can't compete. And someone's going to fool themselves into a Chandler Parsons contract, and he hasn't been that same player that we saw in Houston.
Yeah. Could be. You never know.
So it'll be interesting how all this transpires and unfolds. We'll be right back here with you guys. Probably not July 1st. That is my birthday. It's also 4th of July weekend. So I'm sure a lot's going to be happening that weekend. We'll probably be back with you guys on July 5th to recap a little bit of free agency. Some breaking news coming your way. If we have anything before then, we may jump in and do a quick breaking news podcast. But we want to get in here and get you to the NBA draft recap, get you to the big trades that happened before the draft. And Clay, I cannot wait to see what we have transpire in the week that leads up to NBA free agency.
I'm glad it started. I'm glad it's begun. It's just now getting good. It's already been good, but it's gonna keep getting better. It's your favorite time of the year.
That's right. This is the most wonderful time of the year. You can sing Christmas carols to this time of year for me. Clay, thanks for always for stopping by and being part of the podcast here today. I can't wait to break down, you know, what we have coming up NBA free agency as well.
Likewise, brother.
Remember, you can check out replays of new and archived episodes in iTunes and also now on Stitcher. Make sure to check us out on Facebook and Twitter as well, @TheSportsReport. We'll see you guys next week for a free agency Sports Report podcast.